overeating, bulimia, undereating, obesity, compulsive exercise and dieting, obsession with food or weight, depression, shame, isolation. These are all symptoms. And today, we'll learn more about food addiction. Thanks for listening and subscribing to Learning More. This week, we are talking about food addiction. This is also known as eating addiction or food additive addiction. Yeah, there's not one name for this, and there's plenty of symptoms around it. Like, for instance, bulimia or overeating, compulsive eating. Today, instead of talking to a psychologist about this, a doctor about this, I decided to talk to two people that have recovered from food addiction. I am very pleased to be joined by Amy and Darcy. Amy and Darcy, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Russ, for having us.
So let's start with you, Amy. How did you recognize that you had food addiction?
For me, I didn't even know what food addiction was until I heard about FA, Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous, starting when I was a teenager, kind of dabbling with restricting food and watching my weight. And then that turned into bulimia, which is binging and purging food. And it just kind of getting worse. And I just identified as having an eating disorder that, you know, I had gotten help throughout the years in my past, and I just thought I had an eating disorder, which I did. And if you look up bulimia, you see, you know, there's obsession around the food and obsession around the scale and all these behaviors that I identified with. But it was not until I came across some literature about FA, and it said just enough to kind of spark my curiosity. And I went to www.foodaddicts.org. I knew the concept of 12-step recovery, which is what this organization is, but I didn't identify addiction, I guess, myself as an addict with food. And so I was reading and I thought, this really sounds like me. I do have an eating disorder, but just the literature that I read, the stories, the questions that were asked, I just identified over and over and over with this idea of being a food addict. And from there, I went to a meeting, and it was through the sharing of others in front of the room who identified themselves as food addicts. It was through their short stories and their experience, their past with food, that I identified and knew that I was a food addict.
What were the symptoms that you discovered that made you believe that that was going on?
Well, I heard people talking about behaviors that they had around food that I also had, such as stealing food or from other people or eating in secret. What I really, really identified with is the obsession around food, just thinking about eating all the time. You know, I didn't understand much about myself and my addiction at that point because this was all just, you know, new coming in. All I knew is that when I heard others standing in front of the room and sharing, or even at the break, you know, sharing with me their experience and just the obsession that they had, always thinking about food and or their behaviors eating, food addiction can express itself differently with people, but I would binge eat. So I would eat large quantities of food at a time. And that was kind of just to, you know, just kind of scratch that itch, that never ending itch, you know, that the addictive substance was trying to do. And that's what I identified, the obsession, thinking about food all the time, and the compulsion to have to do it. I had I had no choice. The addiction was stronger than me. And I do, you know, I think there is that part of me that thought, this is just crazy. Like with food, I mean, there's alcohol, there's drugs, there's all these other substances that you could clearly be addicted to, and I understood that. But really, like, who's addicted to food? And why can't I stop eating? And other people experienced that as well. And it's through hearing their experience and them sharing that they also had some of these behaviors and felt the shame, you know, felt the shame mm-hmm. of the addiction. That's what drew me in.
Darcy, I'm interested in hearing your story about how you found out that you were addicted.
Yeah, and I also didn't have a clue I had an addiction. I just remembered symptoms coming up to the point where I could understand more. Well, as a young person, I was the shy one in the family, and I'd run. If it got loud, I'd take off. So they called me the rabbit in the family. Any discord, I would just run away. And, working these steps in the 12-step program, I realized that as young as a third grader, I struck the team out in a baseball game, and they were very disgruntled. And I ran in the house. I grabbed a block of cheese. I bit into it, threw it back in the fridge, and went back out there. And what kid does that? You know, my father, and I got scolded for it. And I said, how'd you know it was me? He said, because look at the crooked teeth marks. Oh, okay. So, I mean, I can't believe I can remember something. But I, at that point in time, I'm hitting food for comfort. I'm upset. I you know, was nervous, and I'm running in the house, you know, hitting food products. As I got older, we were quite foodies. My parents were like two chefs. They presented beautiful meals. I remember at 11 years old, I was having a hissy fit because I thought I was having duck a la orange, and it turned out to be a, you know, rock Cornish hen. And I'm all upset. This doesn't taste right. What's the matter here? I mean, they were quite detailed on that. By the time I got to be in high school, weight was a problem. I couldn't seem to get this weight off, and I wasn't clicking with the kids. We're on the beach, and I'm looking out the window, having a slice of pizza, wondering what's my problem. You know, and mm-hmm. didn't correlate that you're eating too much. Something's going wrong here. And, you know, I saw the people eating stuff. Why couldn't I have it? But depression set in, and I can't keep this weight under control. And I thought, I'm checking out. This is too much. So I really, at that point, probably needed more help. My parents didn't really understand that. They did the best they could. But through high school, trying more exotic ways to lose weight, and college introduced me to smoking cigarettes. I didn't like that, but I thought, they said, oh, just have a cigarette and coffee and you're going to be fine. Okay, try that. And then went on to diet pills. Oh, well, I'm, you know, 5'9" tall. And they said, you just take one pill a day, but if you're in trouble, you can have a pill and a half. So I said, well, heck, I'm 5'9". I'll take a pill for each meal. Well, I lost my 30 pounds real quick and fainted. So these methods I was trying weren't working. But at the end, I kind of got a balance. I was smoking, drinking, starving, binging. These methods I found were working for me. I stayed looking normal. Mm. But as we heard Amy speak, I was still obsessed with food. I if I put something in my mouth, oh gosh, maybe I shouldn't have eaten that much. You know, well, I won't eat anymore. And then I find myself going back, hitting it. And after having two children, I, you know, was putting on the weight, couldn't get it off. And so I started going to weight programs, Weight Watchers, things like that. I remember raising my hand in a Weight Watchers class, and I said, I got to say something here. And she goes, what is it? I said, I can't stop eating your free food. We had free food, carrot sticks and celery or whatever in this fridge. And I said, I can't stop eating this food. I know it's free food, but that's not right. And she said, you just need to learn to grow up. So now what a loser. I'm in a diet program and I can't even do it. So I went from there to, my mother actually found it, an article in a newspaper about Overeaters Anonymous. I tried that 12-step program, was in there for years, and it did introduce me to the 12 steps. It did tell me this is a disease, that you've got a compulsion. And I was a compulsive eater. I got in there. I went in at some high numbers. I went in at 232, 5'9". 10 years later, before 10 years, I got down to maybe a moderate size of 14. But by the end of 10 years, I was up to 254. So that tells you right there something's not working big time. And I couldn't keep the weight off. And I finally just dropped on my knees. There was one person in town that would speak clearly, and she would go through incidences, and time after time, she wasn't using food. She got through it emotionally. I'm thinking, what is she doing? I went ahead and I followed her program, which was Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous, that I'm not just a compulsive eater, I'm a food addict. When I sat in that first row and I heard the definition of a food addict, all the tumblers clicked in my head. I used to work in the emergency room in hospitals, and I said, this is like a drug addict on the table we used to work with. I said, your drug is food. And when I understood that I'm an addict, I mean, that just about blew my mind. I thought, holy smokes. So I got in this program 8 months later, one day at a time. I lost 120 pounds. Now, this weight's been off for 24 years and 4 months, one day at a time. So I'm really grateful at this method that we've got, the 12 steps. It's a program that doesn't mince words. And it's one day at a time. You just work your program with your tools that we're given.
We've made comparisons to Alcoholics Anonymous. And with Alcoholics Anonymous, the amount of alcohol that you have afterwards is zero, right? You walk away from alcohol. You can't do that with food. You need food to sustain your life. You still have to have the source of your addiction on a daily basis.
Right. Well, then the key right there is what you said. And an alcoholic does not at any time drink alcohol. And as a food addict in Recovery Anonymous, we don't touch flour and sugar in quantities or individual binge foods. I never knew that. So the other program I was in pulled the sugar and the alcohol, but they didn't pull the flour. And flour products for us turn into sugar in our systems quite quickly. So that's what happened to me. I was running on flour and adrenaline in some respects. So once the flour and sugar were pulled and quantities, we set amounts of food, it stopped. I mean, it wasn't easy. I was in a fog for weeks, just putting me on this food plan. I was given a food plan, so much for breakfast, a certain amount for lunch, certain amount for dinner, you know, clean proteins, vegetables and fruit, all normal farm to table foods, if you will, not processed foods. And I remember sitting at the dinner table, and my poor husband, he's not a food addict at all. I would say to her, I'm done. I'd eat my little 4 ounces of protein or whatever I was having for dinner. And right. I'd say, I'm done. And he goes, honey, you don't have to tell me you're done every time you finish eating. I go, honey, I got to tell you I'm done because I don't even think I ate. This is like a sniff. This is like this is something I would take and pick around before I'm getting the dinner plate ready. I don't even know this is my dinner. Right. I emotionally couldn't connect with this.
Oh, yeah.
My whole dinner. This was a joke. But in time, about 3 months down the road of this eating pattern, I'd like to tell you I had a stellar run at it. I didn't. I broke my abstinence twice. I didn't really share. Mm-hmm. I didn't share my feelings. I wasn't letting the inside out. And I lied about it once. You know, I had to report that to the sponsor. But I was working the program in a way like a soldier, but I wasn't emotionally engaged. And I almost decided I don't need this program. I started losing weight by 6 months. I'm almost at goal weight, but not quite. And I thought, I'm done. And I had this euphoric moment where an audible, who you could talk to this, they'll think you're crazy, but an audible voice said to me, go upstairs and list why you're grateful for your recovery. And I went, oh my gosh. I went up the stairs. I punched open my husband's office door. I go, excuse me, I have to list why I'm grateful for my recovery. He goes, okay, honey. Like, poor thing. And I found myself bouncing on top of my bed. And I thought, well, here you go. When was your bedroom ever in order? Your bedroom looked like some kind of a trash place. I mean, it was the last room in the house that ever got attention because you're too busy doing everything else. And one thing after another popped out where, you know, your house is in order. Your house is in order. You're calm. You're not shoving food down your throat every 5 minutes. You think before you speak most of the time. I mean, a lot of these life behaviors were starting to change. And I thought, you're going to give this up? It's the first time in your life you've ever kept weight off in a row, 6 months. I couldn't keep this program rolling on my own 3 hours in a row, not no less 6 months. Mm-hmm. So those were some life lessons I learned along the way.
And Amy, did you go through something similar there?
Yes. So when I got into FA, I've been in, this is my second time, but I was in once and just kind of followed it halfway, but never fully surrendered is the word I'll use. Really surrendered what I was obsessed to. It was like my food, my addiction was this unhealthy safety blanket that I had used to cope for so long with life. Years back, it was just a coping tool that eventually turned into an addiction. But once I was a full addict and couldn't go back, that was what food was what I used to cope with life and to get through. And to surrender that and let go of that was scary. And there was a lot of fear in that. So I kind of clung on to that. So kind of wanted to try and eat the food plan that I was given from my sponsor at the time, but just never really being honest what was going on for me and not being upfront with some of my behaviors around the food. And the program wasn't completely working for me. I just wasn't ready. I need to go through a little bit more pain maybe before I was completely ready to surrender everything it can be. And this isn't even thoughts I was thinking of at the time. You know, I don't realize this was going on until years later, and I could look back and I say, oh yeah, you wanted a change, but it takes a little bit more than just wanting a change. You just got to really, really want to get help and let go of this, get help for my food addiction, my disease. And so came back in about 5.5 years ago and got a sponsor and got my food that I could eat. Just like Darcy said, it was just basic farm to table, healthy foods, nothing creative, just very simple. And, you know, and that's what I was committing to eat to her every day. And there was a withdrawal for me in the beginning. There's definitely a period of however you want to call it, detox, or just it took a lot of just constantly thinking about not picking up the addictive type foods I'd want to eat, or my cravings, and really not letting into the craving. And when I had the obsessive thoughts, this program, FA, has all these tools that they encourage, such as reaching out to other fellows in the program, you know, making phone calls, just connecting, and all these tools that I really had to be willing to do them kind of to save my life. That's how I saw it at the time, to save my life. It really got me through the tougher times. And it's just one day, at a time. I just focus and stay on that one day. And then, you know, it's like the minutes do pass or the hours pass, or, you know, I look at the clock and it's the evening and then it's time for bed. And then, you know, and then at the end of the day, I was right with my food and clean with my food, and I ate what I was supposed to eat. And it was just an amazing feeling. That discomfort did not last forever. It did, like many addicts in recovery experience, that the cravings did eventually lessen and lessen and then go away. And then the miracle, I mean, I just wanted to come in and stop eating addictively and stop binging and purging. I just didn't want to do that anymore. But I had no idea that I would also get freedom from the obsession and the compulsion. I thought, yeah, I don't know. Some people say they get that, but you know, not me. I have a reprieve today from that, from those thoughts and feelings, which is a miracle. I see that as just a miracle.
It is a miracle. And I'm so happy that you were able to get to this point. I know it's a long road and it's tough. And I'm happy that you both were able to get to this point. Hey, I want to continue the conversation. I want to talk a little about just food addiction in America. Like, are we as Americans, just in general, as a society, addicted to food? We're going to cover that and much more right after this. If you enjoy history, maybe you're just feeling a little nostalgic, or you wonder who's having a birthday today, or maybe you need a reason to celebrate. Well, we've got the perfect podcast for you. It is called This Is Today. And each and every day, we talk about the historic events, celebrity birthdays. We also talk about whatever is going on today. There's always something to celebrate when you listen to This Is Today. And at just 10 minutes each day, you can make it a daily habit. You can even add it to your Alexa Flash briefing. Click the link in the description or just search in your favorite podcast app for This Is Today. Thanks for listening and subscribing to Learning More. This week, we are talking about food addiction. I'm talking with Amy and Darcy, who have both suffered from food addiction and are going through a food addiction recovery program called Food Addiction. You can get more information about this at foodaddiction.org. I will put a link in the description of the podcast for that. Now, the other podcast that I do, This Is Today, covers all of these national days. There's always a national day about some sort of food. And then, of course, we've got like Thanksgiving and Easter and Christmas. Everything seems to be about food. Do we as a society have an unhealthy attitude towards food?
Well, speaking as Americans, we certainly do. It's a money-making market also. But, you know, it's advertisements. So, what, you know, what I've learned is, you know, and I was right in there with all that because I was a good cook and I came, like I said, we got into all that kind of thing. But being in recovery, I've learned to set that aside, if you will. You know, it talks about this, Alcoholics Anonymous is our, you know, mothership, if you will, of the 12 steps. And it says if you are spiritually fit, you can be in any room in any situation and still be fine if you have the right attitude, you know, going into it. So you can present yourself in parties in different places, but the focus is on you took care of yourself with your timing of your meals and the other stuff that's presented is not your food. So your focus is on, you know, what can you give to this situation? You know, how can you share and how can you enjoy the people? You know, never was like that. Some, you know, you'd find people hanging around the bar or hanging around the sweets table, you know, trying to get this or that. And with the obsession, like Amy was saying, you know, your obsession does leave in time. Thank you, God. And you can engage, your mind can engage with the people and the situations around you without that pain, without that pull and draw of compulsion and obsession. Mm-hmm. And you're living more peacefully. I never knew what that meant, living peacefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to add to what Darcy said, moving through these real life situations in recovery, you know, going into the program, I'm not so sure, how's this going to work in this situation? What about this situation? What about this situation? And, you know, like Darcy said, we learn to take care of ourselves first. And then what I found happening over time is I was able to be present at these situations or these circumstances, family gatherings, holidays, parties. And I was completely comfortable and able to enjoy myself in a way that I wasn't able to while I was in my addiction. I might have thought before, for example, well, I'll need to have something to snack on, or let's go over here to this table or something to make me feel more relaxed, to help me get through, make me feel more comfortable, help me loosen up. That's what I thought I needed. And letting go of that was, there was definitely fear and how that would play out for me. But as I've moved along in this program and recovery, I've in fact found out that I am much more at peace and more comfortable with myself and able to be fully present with the people and the real reason that I'm there, whether it's celebrating something, a specific holiday, or just gathering around with a couple, you know, people I haven't maybe seen in a little bit and really just focus on the real reason I'm there and be comfortable. And that's working this recovery program.
One thing that I want to make sure that we talk about, because I always hear this from people going through any type of recovery program, is that first meeting and the first couple of steps can be very difficult. Can you tell us about the beginning stages of recovery and perhaps some of those first meetings?
Well, when you're speaking of the stages of recovery, so you have a person that's heard about us, let's say, and they just walk in the door. It's kind of like a deer in a headlight. It's like, you know, they,
yeah.
We don't know how much they're, you know, you're not taken fully in the whole as the meeting progresses, but they're going to hear bits and pieces. They're going to identify with someone said something they heard in front of the room. And then before and afterwards, we have time to talk to them, but they have the idea that these people, they look around the room and they see recovered people and they say, how do they get there? How are they happy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do they're hopeless. And, you know, they're sitting in a chair. One person I remember was sitting in a chair with their head down, and I came over and I just sat next to her, and she says, is this real? I said, yeah. I said, it works. I said, you know, we all started somewhere. I said, some of us were underweight, some of us were normal weight, and some was like me. I was like I looked like a Green Bay Packer out there. So I said, it's just one day at a time. So just taking them gently, and it's a program of attraction, not promotion. And what are you comfortable with today? Do you want to come back to a few meetings? Do you want me to call you? Can I have your phone number? You know, just gently ask them what they're comfortable with and where they want to start. And if they're interested, you know, we tell them, don't try to do this program on your own. You need a sponsor. And once they decide to get a sponsor, that's when we have more ability to help them with each step of the way.
Tell me a little more about that process.
It's when we set them up on their food plan, set them up on, you know, what's their activities, and having them call us every day, one day at a time. You know, what are you looking out for? What's your day going to bring? You know, you can't work, you know, 12 hours a day and not have a lunchtime. You know, how can you take care of yourself? We work with them with, how is this program going to work in your life? It's program, family, job, other. I didn't know that. I put work ahead of everything a lot of times. Anything I wanted for a goal, that was it. And, you know, I learned that wasn't good health for me, and it wasn't good thinking. It's kind of addict thinking. So I had to learn priorities, and I had to, like we've heard, surrender. I might have achieved goals in my life in other ways, but this is one thing I absolutely could not master. I did not have the power to work this thing out, could not do it. And I had to really start working on a power greater than myself. I had to listen to this program and follow the ones that went before me and have trust. That's what I was saying after 6 months, I said, you know, I got this. I had no humility at that point. I was not humble. And when I had that reprieve for a minute or two to just check what are you grateful for? When I realized everything that had changed in my life and how I physically, mentally, and spiritually were changing, I had tears that came out of the side of my head. And I said, okay, this program went from my head to my heart. And I got up off that bed like a new person. And, you know, and I'm still walking the walk today.
Amy, what would you say to somebody that is just getting started on the road to recovery?
I would just encourage them to come to some meetings and just keep showing up and listening and reaching out and asking questions. And for me, one of the things that just grabbed me coming in, you know, not knowing what to expect and am I ready for this, whatever this is. And, you know, who are these people? What am I going to have to do? What am I going to have to say? What if I don't want to talk yet? Just, you know, I felt so comfortable and I didn't even have to, you know, say much. It was just coming in, feeling welcome, just knowing that I just need to sit and listen. And, you know, others would share their experiences and we would connect and they would share with me what they do, kind of just the bare basics of what they do in FA, which is they get a sponsor and their sponsor will help them out with a food plan and kind of guide them through situations. You know, that nobody ever got too detailed with me. Just kind of, this is what a sponsor is. and this is how you find a sponsor. And so nobody's, you know, telling me what to do, but they kind of guided me through the process. If you want to try this, this is what you would do. And kind of left it up to me, but just the encouragement to keep coming to meetings or listening in and getting some phone numbers. And I would connect with people who I had, maybe I would hear them talk, or maybe they came up to me during the break at the meeting or before the meeting. And when I see somebody new coming in, I want to welcome them in. I want to make them feel that they are welcome here, and all they need to do is just sit and listen, and you know that there's literature available, there are people available, here's some phone numbers to call anyone, even though it seems, I just remember that being very awkward for me in the beginning, the concept of just calling somebody who I had no idea,
right.
But that's, you know, it's like, oh, just call, here's the name and the number, just give them a call, or, oh, you may, you know, like this, call this person, but now it's just, I do it all the time. Or if I'm going through a situation in my life or my day, and I'll be talking to another FA fellow, and we just have these wonderful conversations that help me through life and help guide me just to do the, you know, the next right thing. But with getting started in this program, I just really enjoy talking to those coming in and sharing my experience. I feel like FA saved my life, and I want to give that to somebody else who's struggling. I remember a lot of pain that I was in when I was in my active addiction, and if I can pass that along to somebody else, I want to share with other people what worked for me, and it, you know, may or may not be for them, but maybe I can save somebody else's life and just pass along what I've learned.
Amy, how did food addiction affect your health?
For me, I was purging my way to keep on a, you know, quote, healthy body weight. So it was unseen, you know, the doctors didn't know unless there was something going on with me. But a couple things did happen as a result of my addiction. My teeth, most of my teeth had to be crowned due to the purging. You know, there's just the acid from my stomach and all the purging over and over eroded my teeth. And so most of my teeth are crowned. So I had to have quite a bit of dental work done throughout the years. And I had gallbladder surgery as a result of my bulimic binging and purging, and my electrolytes were off, my blood work was off, and it was scary. You know, it's not a good feeling to feel so powerless. You know, it's like, here I am, I'm this adult, and I want to be taking care of myself, and I should be taking care of myself, but I'm to feel completely powerless and yet still be doing these behaviors that I know are wrong. The intellectual part of me knows that this is not right and it's harmful, but my addiction overrides that. And when I started to have a better of understanding of that and of myself and my addiction in this program, it helped me. It kind of took when I understood it, it was like, oh, I'm powerless. That's what it is. I have this addiction and I'm powerless. And it just, the understanding of that, you know, I'm not a bad human being. I just have this disease. And then, you know, tagging on to that, in FA, I found a solution. So that's the silver lining of it all is, you know, I found the solution. Today I have an amazing life that I'm so grateful for.
So Darcy, the health effects of food addiction has touched your family in many ways. Can you tell us about that?
The food addiction in our family led us into late onset diabetes, That was my mom and my brother. Then from there, they went to congestive heart. My mother, my brother had a heart attack. Both my mother died from the heart attack, and my brother had the heart attack. But then because he was a, you know, food, I believe, addict, the death certificate said he died from sepsis. So this disease is devastating, and we never see food addict on a death certificate. You see heart attacks, you see, you know, seizures, you see all kinds of different, you know, death reasons, but you don't see food addict. And if you roll it back, I remember passing out some literature to one of the local doctors, and he said, was a podiatrist, and he said, I don't know if I could pass this out to my patients. That might embarrass them. I used to work in the OR, and I said, well, how embarrassed are you to take off their toe because they have diabetes and they don't know how to stop eating? And he just looked at me and he goes, bring me those brochures. So this food addiction is, I think, a root of a lot of our sick people in today's world that haven't got a clue, trying their best to get well. And the sole reason is this addiction.
Thinking about it, if this doesn't appear on the death certificate, this doesn't appear in the DSM, I would think that there's also likely not government funds going to this, programs being created for this. However, you guys stumbled upon a fantastic program with food addicts. Can you tell us a little more about that and how people can get information?
They could go to the web address, www.foodaddicts.org. You can find meetings. You can read about what food addiction is. There's some questions that people can ask themselves. There's literature if they're not going to a in-person FA meeting.
Yeah, that website would be a focal point to start from, and just reviewing some of that information. And then, you know, we just take it from there and we'll answer phone calls. We know, do whatever we can. We have different literature out. Alcoholics Anonymous has their called Big Book. And that's one of the pieces of literature that we do use. And then we have what we call our gray book, which is Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous. This is story after story of people that have had this addiction and what was their solution. So that's a read that's, you know, people can pick up that book and just so identify with it and then just hear about our tools and how did we get this recovery and what did we do to get it.
I thank you both so much for sharing your stories with us and helping us learn more about food addiction. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening and subscribing to Learning More. We encourage and thank you for rating the podcast and sharing it with your friends. And as with any podcast that gives medical or legal opinion, the information is not meant to substitute professional advice. We encourage you to consult a professional to discuss your exact situation. I invite you to check out our daily podcast that I host called This Is Today, where you can learn the stories of each day, including national events, daily history, and some fun stories. This Is Today is available wherever you get your podcasts. There's a link in the description. Okay, so next week, we're going to talk social media and mental health. What is it doing to you? Well, we're going to learn more about that next week. Hey, if you have something that you would like to learn more about, let us know, and it may just become a future episode. Submit your ideas and comments at learningmorepodcast.com. Again, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. I'm Russ, and I look forward to learning more with you next time.